Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Welcome to another broadcast of the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. We praise the Lord for being able to reach your homes through this signal. Now, we've been studying a series titled True Prosperity. Now, closing up this series, I'm very, very soon I'll be finishing it up. Perhaps this will be the last or second to last session. In Matthew 6, and today's subject, the problem is in your heart, not in the money. It is all in the root of a lack of relationship, therefore will be a lack of trust. Money is not the issue. More so, it's the heart of man. Matthew 6, verse 29, verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Treasure here means investments, be it investments of money, which would be the correct term, but wherever, even including where you put your time, is where your heart is. One of the reasons why I teach through a study series, or the Spirit of the Lord guided me to teach through a set of study series, is a development. We start developing where we say in one session continues in another. But it's all lined up together. Everything what I'm seeking here is linked to our last sessions. Session 6, session 7, I forget how many sessions we are now. But it's all together. But it's a continuation. Amen. This isn't new or different or something that has nothing to do with how it was speaking in our last sessions. It's important to understand it then. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy, one of the verses that I used in our first few sessions. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through many sorrows. Notice how the root of all evil is the love of money. Not that evil is the root of, that money is the root of evil. In the New Living Translation, it says this way, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs or many sorrows. That's then one of the definitions of the Hebrew of the word. In Proverbs 10, verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but foolish die for lack of wisdom. 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. The word here, sorrow, is a bit of a weak translation. It's more so when terror comes or when disgrace comes. I'm going to read it again. I want to present a better representation of this, because this is very marvelous of what the Lord tells us. In our last session, I spoke how we do not want to speak of money, how the world speaks it, where it's just all materialism. Just things, having things, or based about having cars, houses, and things. The Lord is not against us having that. But it's either materialism or it's also religion and religious ideas of we have to be poor and we cannot have anything with us. There has to be a balance here, and a very biblical balance. Actually, God is so abundant in everything that he is and does. He is abundance. And God is not against you having abundance. But is your heart correct? 10:22, I'll be touching this a bit more. If the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. One of the words here, sorrow, is is pains or injuries, disgrace. This word also includes or gives the idea of pulses in the body or in your mind of pain, of pressure, anxiety, panic attacks, sorrow. There are people who have everything, apparently all types of money, live in mansions, and they end up committing suicide or taking their own life. Because unfortunately, or better said, their trust was not in God. So you can have all the money and not have that peace and that confidence or that relationship with God. You can have an apparent relationship with God and live in poverty always. That apparent, because if you truly have a relationship with God, you will prosper. You will also prosper financially. You will also prosper financially, glory to God. Now, 1 Timothy 6. 6 verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And now we were in the New Living Translation here. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So money, my brothers and sisters, is not the issue. It's your heart. It's your heart. People do things for money. People will betray you for money. People will leave you out of a convenience, or will come to you out of a financial convenience. Not because they love you. Entire families have been separated out of an inheritance or you will. And if you were to ask them, they say, it's because I need the money. And the day that they have that money, that inheritance, they will always lack something. In other words, they will never be complete. And they will always have a need, or they will always have a need for money. Some of you could think or say, it's because we all have a need for money. Yes, it's true. If we're going to use money as a need, as a tool, as I said last time, as a tool. We need money because we live in an economical society. But the majority of people are always searching for money. And it's always more and more, wanting more. And they want more. And you can give a person $1 million and they'll spend it on whatever it is, on themselves, in certain members of their family, the closest members of their family. And if they no longer have anything else, they'll find a way to have more. And some of you could think or say, well, it's normal. No, it's not normal. What we should do, what us believers should do, what we seek is the kingdom of God. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added to you. In its context here, the Lord was speaking of that. That people have needs. But you and I seek the Lord. The Lord will bring us that promotion. The Lord is the one that will bring us what we need and more. I believe this. The Lord Jesus said in John 6:10, for the stealer comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I come that you may have life and abundance in it. Now, of course, the Lord wants you to have it in abundance. Again, Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. One more time, I say it this way, because I've had the opportunity, the grace of God, the favor of God, of knowing people. Millionaires, believers in Christ Jesus, multimillionaires. One of them, I think I mentioned him in this series, he lived in a big mansion there in Scottsdale, Arizona. They sold the house because it was too much house for them. It was too much of a house for them. It would there be have harm in keeping it or selling it? There are people who could have said, oh, yes, it's normal. But why do they want a house like that? Well, with all respect, what do you care? It's their house. What I'm referring to is that there are people who will say, you should not live that way. Well, it's neither on you or me to say that. And if you would have known of these people and you would have seen their house, I mean, murmuring of those people saying, oh yeah, good thing that they sold it. They don't need such a house like that. Well, you and I are not whom to judge what a person has or doesn't have. It's not on us. But what I am saying is that there are people like this family here, whom I mentioned some time ago in this series. They sold their house in Scottsdale, Arizona, moved to the center of Phoenix in a much smaller home. Very nice house, a high value, a much smaller home, but because they decided it. But if they would have decided to stay in that mansion where they lived, no one can judge them. You know why? Because they are generous people in the kingdom of God. Other people could say, oh yeah, of course they give because they have. No, that's not true. They didn't start that way. These people did not start that way. Many of us did not start that way either. Or so we have because we've believed the Lord. We've sown. We've given. And many of us have. I'm referring to that we live in a higher level what we were 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Nevertheless, your life in the Lord should always go up and up and up and up. What I'm saying here is it's a lie that you should not have much or that only have the necessary to live. If you want to live the way, that's fine. But what happens with that idea is if you say, oh, I'm only going to have enough to live, only just with a little bit that I have to live. Well, if you're going to use it as an example to say, I want to live this way, I want to live in a cabin, per se, that's fine. It's your liking. You can live that way. Oh, I want to live in a house that only has, I don't know, a kitchen, a small living room, a bathroom, and that's it. That's fine. There are people who have constructed homes that way for them. It's difficult sometimes to give a liking to certain people. This other man there in Phoenix constructed something like I told you, which is why I'm giving you this example. Constructed a porch out of there, and then a small living room. And then a porch, and then a small little bathroom. His patio as well. And that's how he made it. He constructed the home that way. And he put a wall up. Then some people told him, oh, you have a lot of territory towards the back. You should have made another bedroom, or you should have done this or the other. And he would have made a big home, and they would have said, why so much? What's the point in sharing this with you? That you will live how you want to live, and no one should judge you for it in a big or a small house. But as a believer, what God sees is the heart. For example, if you're going to live that way just because, oh, well, but this is more than enough, I don't need anything else. But it's because your mentality tells you, just as long as I live like this, just a little bit, and I retire and get a small little check every month, you're thinking only on yourself, and you're being very selfish. Because it's not just about you that you live in a house with just one bedroom, one bathroom, but you have very small income because you haven't believed the Lord, because you have not been generous. And then you say, oh, well, this is more than enough for me, I don't need more. That's where you're wrong. This person that I shared with in Phoenix, again, has to do with the fact that they sold their home where they lived before with his children got married, and he bought that small home, he bought the territory, he made the house at his and his wife's liking, small bedroom, small bathroom. But you know what, this man, a businessman, continued being generous in the kingdom of the Lord. that if you would have seen how generous he was, perhaps it would be those families that where they would have told him, you should have made a bigger house with the money that you have. My point is, be it you live in a mansion or you live in a small apartment, us believers who we trust in God, whom have received a revelation of the grace of the Lord, of the love of God, we should be generous. That's what I'm referring to. Generosity is part of the new birth that we have. God the Father is generous, so we should be generous in the kingdom of God. Never, we will never have enough, or we will never reach a point of saying, oh, this is more than enough, I don't need more. This is in the moment of extending the kingdom of God. According to certain statistics of the population that there is in the whole world, there are many more pagans than Christians that are born again. So we never reach the point of saying, I don't need more. Oh, it's too much, Brother Hughes, it's too much. We don't need more. To make the will of God, there is never enough money to make the perfect will of God. And it's about reaching people so that those people can be born again and then later feed them with the word of God and take the word to them through different places. There is never enough money. And that's a deceit that many people fall in, including Christians. Well, heathens think the same way. The issue is when I hear Christians speak that way, saying, oh yeah, this is more than enough. No, it's never enough. You live the way you want to live and where you want to live, but never it be removed from you the generosity. And if you're of those who thinks, oh, this is more than enough of this retirement check and this, and I don't need more, you're being selfish because you're thinking on yourself. Someone could think, oh, well, Brother Hughes, what can I do if I already retired and I receive a certain amount of money for my retirement? Well, you give from that amount, but you believe the Lord for more. The Lord will give you ideas to where you retire from your job that you used to have. Now you can start a new business and God will give you ideas and God will bless you more and God will bring more things to your life where you continue growing even more. The issue is not money. The issue is your heart. There are people who I believe they call them like a garden hoe. They just want to receive, take everything for themselves. And it's fine. I know how to receive. But the reason why I know how to receive is because I know how to give. Amen. For example, there are two types of people. If you give them something, a gift or something, you buy something for them, they'll say first. Or some of them could say, and this has to do with pagans as with carnal Christians that without their renewed mind. Now, this is an insult. This is just Bible here. I speak of carnal Christians. Carnal simply means guided by their five senses. Their minds have not been born again. Their mind has not been renewed in this subject, as to say with the financial subject that we're speaking of. If you give them something, some could say, oh, no, you don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. No, don't worry about it. You don't have to do it. Because in their heart, they think that if you give me something, I'm obligated with you now. And there are others who will accept, but they'll just accept things. I call them those Christians who are like that garden hoe. Just taking everything for themselves. And both attitudes are very wrong. You desire, as a believer, as a disciple in the word, you desire to give, to sow, because you're grateful with the Lord. Say, Lord, thank you. You're so good, Father. There's never enough. There's never more than enough that I could give for you. Even as regardless of how much I give. What a tremendous point of reaching where a Christian says, Even if I were to give you $1 million, I gave $1 million in the works of the Lord. Imagine what seed you'd be giving. Therefore, what a great harvest. And there is, I will clarify that there is. Before continuing, I will say that there is. But imagine if every single Christian said, if they could say, even if I give you $1 million, your grace is greater. Your love is greater. Your mercy is greater towards me. Your greatness, you as my God, as my Father, my Creator. There is no one like you, Lord. That's truth. Very few Christians see it that way. The grand majority see it as, oh, it's money. If I give, I'm going to have less. But God is marvelous. God is great. God is marvelous. If we see it from that way, there's no price, brothers and sisters. But our hearts need to change. That then you will go from glory to glory, from victory to victory. You'll always go up, always increasing. Now that there are moments where perhaps it may seem that you're headed down or you've lost, speaking financially. If you maintain yourself in the Lord, in the Word, you maintain yourself in faith with your eyes set on God and His Word, you'll notice a change. But with time, God will exalt you, put you in another level and in another level and in another level, always heading up, praise the Lord. And in you will be that confidence, that assurance. There's a part here in the scripture that I'll be reading in Habakkuk 3. Now, what I'm going to say here is not a contradiction of what I'm speaking. Here you can see your heart and how much you truly love God. Habakkuk 3. New Living Translation, even if a fig tree does not blossom and there is no fruit on the vines, if the yield of the olive fails and the fruit produces no food and even the flocks disappear from the fold and there are no cattle in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. What does this verse mean? Suppose that, because this has happened, some people didn't have anything. They came to the Lord. They climbed up financially in life. They grew up in that relationship with God, in faith, in obedience towards God. Which is why I always mention a relationship. Communion with God is the most important, vital thing. The rest will come naturally. The rest is a byproduct of walking by faith, etc. Difficult times came. Perhaps economies in the world were not good due to the economies around the world. And they lost everything. Or many of them lost great capital in life. Or difficult times have come. But you know what? You aren't discouraged. You don't say, no, this of giving doesn't work. This is a lie or something of the sort. Nor you continue along. You continue along because your relationship is greater with God. Amen. Your relationship is much greater with God, and the Lord is greater. His love towards you is greater, and you know that He is with you. And suppose that it was an error, decisions of yours in the past, of not being good administrator, of not hearing from God, or not obeying exactly what God was telling you. and you came in during difficult times. Again, from your heart you repent, you close all doors to the devil. Did you know that God, regardless, still loves you and will restore your path and will restore your finances? And everything that has happened, everything that the devil has destroyed, will be turned for good. But where is that then in that relationship with God? You know that God is with you. And you know that if you seek him, he will direct you and guide you. And you'll get out of that situation. God will restore you. But what happens with Christians that say, oh no, that's not true. That doesn't work. Oh, that's not true of prosperity. Oh, this and the other. You know what happens? What happens is that they speak in that way because they've lost focus on the Lord and they've lost that relationship. Doubt starts coming. Fear starts coming. Unbelief starts coming. Instead of staying with the Word. But these verses, you should read them and meditate them. You're not confessing that you don't have enough, but that if you didn't have anything at all, or if you're still not seeing the result that you want, you will not be discouraged. And you'll continue in the Word. And you'll continue in the Lord. Amen. Because the Word is true always. His Word does not fail. And you'll continue. And you know, Father, thank you. I've made a mistake. I have not heard you. Supposing that perhaps you were the one that was responsible. There are things that perhaps are out of your control. But even with that, you'll go from glory to glory, victory to victory. Whatever you're going through financially is only temporary. While it comes, you are in the rest of the Lord. You seek the Lord more. You continue feeding yourself of his Word. You keep sowing in the kingdom of God, giving in the kingdom of God, and God will restore you much greater than what you could have lost. Because that's how God is. That's how God works. That's how God works. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. God works that way, brothers and sisters. God is marvelous. You know what happens? It's when we stop seeing God as our source. It's when we stop seeing God as that God who is our source. That God who is that source of trust. One more time. True prosperity comes in that relationship with God. True prosperity will help you to maintain your family united in the Lord. True prosperity. This all has to do with the relationship with God. Again, relationship with God will help you to hear, will help you to hear that direction, to follow that direction. God will give you direction in life, and you will not fail. And many people, God bless them, say, oh, it's because we all have issues, Brother Hughes. All of us, we all have issues. It's true. We all have issues. I've been in churches where the pastor says, we all have issues. Who doesn't have issues, right? Everyone has issues. Even I have issues. And everyone raises their hand. Amen. I mean, even the pastor raises both hand and the foot. And yeah, it's true. We all have issues. But after these nonsense, I'll continue.
The Word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing your religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life. To receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Hi, I'm Kayla. I have a quick question for you. Did you enjoy our teachings? How about the Kingdom and Government episodes? We'd love to know how this content has made a difference in your life. If it's been helpful, go ahead and like the video and drop a comment. We'd love to know how God's Word is impacting you.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at npfccc.org and click on the question section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Amen. I want to thank all our friends and faith partners of Word of Faith Ministries for helping us to take the gospel to different places around the world. For example, you could download our app completely free on your mobile device, on your iPad, wherever it is that you use. There are hours and hours of study material on our YouTube channel, also Word of Faith Ministries, in English and in Spanish. You can subscribe, and there are literally hundreds of hours, perhaps thousands of hours, of the Word of God available for you. My God, in YouTube videos as well, we'd be putting audios, a complete study series, only audio format. You could go to sleep with that series and just listening to it until you end up falling asleep, just audio format. And also series that we recorded perhaps years ago, many 5, 10 years ago, and you can listen to them in audio format. They'll be available only in audio. We have a lot of material to give completely free for you. And some other material that you could give a donation. All you do is you help us to continue to take the word to other places. Now, there are many people. And forgive me if I use a word a bit offensive. But it's very hypocritical of many Christians to say, or the people of the world that criticize us, if it is that we speak of money, it's just with Christians. And many times those people work 2 or 3 jobs of seeking money instead of seeking God. In the first session, I also spoke of that. Unfortunately, there are bad administrators that have given an erroneous, perhaps made falsified information, have sheared the sheep, stolen money, many preachers, many ministers. It's true, it's happened, it has happened, as there are bad lawyers, bad doctors, bad engineers. In same happens in the ministry, but you should not apply it to everyone. You should not apply it to all people. That would be unjust. For example, you don't know how much money my wife and I have given in the church, in the ministry, have helped people of this church. We have helped others, other pastors of other countries, financially. And there's no use in just giving names or numbers. I wouldn't have to do so. But there are times where they could put me in the same category of those certain false ministers that there are. It just should not be for everyone, and apply it for everyone, because if not, that'd be hypocrisy. For example, without offending anyone, perhaps some of you have 2 or 3 jobs. Why would you need to have 2 or 3 jobs? If money is evil, or the minister should not speak of money, and if money is so evil, then why do you have it? Why do you need it? Why do you save up so much? Because money, again, is a tool. But money also helps you, or you trust in God or you don't trust in God. If you trust in God, you're generous. If you don't trust in God, simply you'll be like people of the world. People of the world don't characterize themselves for being generous, for just letting money go. Some people perhaps could give you things, but it's rare for someone to just give you cash like that. Another idea or understanding that you should have is that no one owes you anything. Don't be of those people that because a family member has something, they have the means, they have the funds. You don't be of those people that says, oh, well, you have to help me because he has enough and I don't. No, not if you're a believer in Christ. That's only for the world. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, God is your source. If a person, a family member who has the money tells you, hey, you know what? I want to help you with this. I want to bless you with this. And they're a believer in Christ and they say, you know what? The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, told me to help you with this, to bless you. Then you receive it. But what I'm saying is you should not have the idea that they have to help you. Oh, he has to help me. He has to give me. He has to. No, don't ever have that idea. God is your source. God is your source. Always expect to receive from God. But if you want to receive finances, then you have to sow in the kingdom of God. And you could say, Brother Hughes, you just said no one should obligate us. Yeah, no one is obligating you. We're not putting a gun to your head. We're telling you, if you want to, in the natural, I know. One time I was in a church and I asked the brothers in Christ in that said church. I said, hey, if you in the natural want beans, what do you do? I was speaking of sowing and reaping. The answer in its context, it was, well, you sow beans to reap beans. But a person there, a young adolescent guy said, I go to the store and I buy beans. No, in its context speaking, if you want beans, then you're going to sow beans, to reap beans. You're going to sow rice, to sow rice. What you want to harvest, you sow it. Or what you want to harvest or reap, you sow it. You sow the seed first. Glory to God. That's what you should do. Now, unfortunately, not all think that way. Not all believe that way. Some could say, oh, it's because this person has and they have to help me. No. God is your source. If people want to help you, want to bless you financially, you receive it. But guard your heart in saying, oh, you have to help me. No one has to. No one is obligated with you, as no one is obligated with me. For example, thousands and thousands of people download the app for free. They watch our teachings, they watch videos. And not all will respond to this financially. Not all will give. I could say you have to give. Well, although I said it, no one will do it if the heart is not there. First, it has to be the will. You have to have that free will available. And then God will accept what you have, not what you don't have, not falling in debt and asking someone money to be able to give an offering. No. 2 Corinthians, verse 9, or apologies, chapter 8. Verse 11 and 12. But now you also must complete the doing of it, of giving, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion of what you have. For if there is a willing mind, it is accepted according to what has, and not according to what he does not have. New Living Translation, in the same verse. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not to what you don't have. Imagine you go and rob your neighbor to be able to give an offering. Not right, God will not accept that. Those ideas of Robin Hood or some. Or perhaps here in California, Joaquin Murrieta. They steal from the rich to give to the poor. These people are stealing from the rich to give to the poor. It may sound nice. The principle may sound nice. The principle of, the rich has and this one doesn't. Which is why we hear these stories of Robin Hood of stealing from the rich to give to the poor. Well, it may sound nice. But God does not bless that. And people have these ideas of, he has and he has to give me and he has to. And the rich have to pay more and this and the other. That's called stealing. In the law of God, it's called stealing. And God did not call us to steal. He called us to trust. He is our source. Amen. We have to change our way of thinking. Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Father, thank you because your word is always, always true and it works for he who believes. For he who believes, all is possible. The Lord Jesus has provided healing for your body. I curse all works of the devil in your body. I release that healing power in the name of Jesus. Receive it. By his stripes you were healed. The Lord provided peace, joy. It's inside of you. According to Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Love, joy, and peace. Speak it. I speak it over you in the name of Jesus. And I speak that the Spirit of God guides you, directs you. That everything that you give in the kingdom of God will prosper. Guard your mouth, guard your actions. Don't give place to the devil. Walk in faith, walk in love. Walk in integrity of the word. Develop a relationship with the Lord and his word, with the written word. Let the Spirit of God speak to you through his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Be directed by the Spirit, not by your thoughts, not by people. And your life will change. And you'll prosper little by little and always honor God. Tithings, offerings. Be accepted what you give. How do I start, Brother Hughes? If some of you have not practiced this, start practicing with tithing, with the 10%. But give it in faith, in love. Say, Father, thank you because you have given me this job. You have given me the strength. Thank you because you are my helper. Thank you because you are the one that helps me, protects me to be able to do this work. And believe the Lord. God will honor you. Oh, Brother Hughes, others have told me, but it's very little, my tithing. You've already seen it. God will accept what you have and grow from there. God will give you tithing so that you can give. Not just from your job or from what you have, but apart from that, you will have more and how much to give from that. But do it in faith. No one obligates you. What I did is a teaching. But we're not obligated. Giving is of free will, but if you do it in faith, from what you give, God will prosper you. Financially, you will lack nothing in this earth. You will have much more. You'll have more than enough. You'll end your days full of days and in financial abundance. Amen. I believe it with all my heart. You won't end up in ruins. It's not the will of God. It's not the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Receive this teaching. Listen from session one, session two. Listen to all of this. Seek Him. In Word of Faith Ministries in YouTube, you can find all these studies. Put it on your playlist. Listen to them again. From session number one, there's lots of information. Take notes. Write things down. Study them and act on them. Amen. God bless you greatly. The peace of the joy of the Lord over you. Were you ministered and were you fed with the Word of God? Then we give you the opportunity do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the Word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that Word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again, and we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree. And you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise, seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt, and He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
Este fue su programa, La Victoria que ha vencido al mundo, nuestra fe.
Esperamos que haya disfrutado de esta enseñanza. Nuestro ministerio está al alcance de su mano, descargando nuestra aplicación Ministerios Palabra de Fe, disponible gratis en App Store y Google Play. Para más información sobre nuestro ministerio, visita nuestro sitio web mpfccc.com o llámanos al 520-364-3698. Y si vives en México, comunícate al 66-21-68-5720 o escríbenos a nuestro correo electrónico info@mpfccc.com. Si le gustaría unirse a nuestro ministerio como un socio en la fe, puede registrarse en línea o en nuestra aplicación. Necesitamos de su continuo apoyo financiero para que el programa La Victoria que ha vencido al mundo nuestra fe tenga el máximo alcance en su área. Les damos las gracias a todas las personas que están sembrando en nuestro ministerio. Su sociedad impulsa nuestra habilidad de llevar la palabra de Dios al mundo. Puede enviar su correspondencia a Ministerios Palabra de Fe al 5379 Norte Rocky Road en Douglas, Arizona, código postal 85607.
Esta fue una producción de Ministerios Palabra de Fe.